Let's start by having a look at the book of Ruth, and thanks to Hilary for reading that first chapter. You might want to open your Bible to Ruth if you've got it. If you haven't read it, I'd really advise you to go home and read it. It's only short and a great in difficulty, but turns into this story of joy, of belonging and redemption. It's a story of God placing people in families, a story that points towards his redeeming love and his unshakable sovereignty. It's also a story of migration and the vulnerability that comes with that, something that's familiar to many, many people throughout the world, as well as close to home. And recognising that migration is something that's having more and more of an impact on Ireland, we've been working to produce a resource that helps churches in their response to that. It's called Home, and it looks at the theme of migration through 6 studies on the Book of Ruth. The UN's latest estimates are that 70.8 million people worldwide have been forced from their homes because of war or natural disaster, and many, many more have left their homes in search of better opportunities. And as part of the resource, we interviewed people who have come to Ireland from countries like the Democratic Republic of Congo, Mongolia, Iran, India, and Zimbabwe, for a variety of reasons and in a variety of circumstances. We're going to watch a couple of the videos from the interviews shortly, and I'm very excited about you seeing those. But if we start with the Book of Ruth. So we've read the first chapter of Ruth, which is the start of the story, and it's a pretty tragic opening. Naomi, having left home with her family, loses her husband and her sons. She's broken and bitter. And she makes the decision to return home to the land of Judah. Ruth ends up going with her, and chapter 1 ends with their arrival back in Bethlehem, when the people ask, "Can this be Naomi?" To which she replies, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." She's hurting, and she's hopeless. So I'd like to introduce you to some of the migrants that we interviewed for the home resource through just a short video.
I'm from Iran. I've been living here at about 15 months. I left my country because I converted my religion, Islam to Christian. And I had to leave my country because the government attacked to the house church. It's very difficult, very disaster at that time, because you have to leave your family, you have to leave all of the things, and it's a very difficult situation at that time.
Yeah, the struggles went on back home, for us, like in the family, and not a rich kind of like, no, we are just downtrodden, and we were very, basically in India, you have a system there, the lower caste and upper caste and all, so it was a very difficult and challenging times where we passed through there, and God has shown us a way. The challenges are very great, sometimes like suicidal as well. So in that time, the church prayed for us, and God has blessed us like this, and we came down here, and I can say like, now we are all right, we are blessed.
I was in the Dublin airport. We meet immigration, he say, "What is your name?" "We don't know." He asked my wife, "No, especially when he asked my daughter, "What is your name?" We say, "Abigail." And the immigration, he start think, this family is not coming from Africa directly, it's coming from England or some country for Europe. No, it's Ryan, because her daughter speaks English. How can you speak English? And the parent, he doesn't understand. I was not understand English. It was the first time somebody to start to talk to me to English language. And after they told me, we go to take you back if you don't want to talk to true.
When I come to the prison, we have no idea about, you know, asylum, you know, seeking asylum. And we have been that accommodation about 1 month. And then, like, end of the November, from home office, like, gave me a call. And they gave me appointment for a screen interview. And my partner and we both have get there and we get a screen interview. And then after 5 days, I'm having baby. And then also end of May, I have done like big interview. So the answer was refuse. So still I'm waiting the court date. So like this, still like the process is still going on. Yeah, waiting the refugee status, yeah.
So all of the people in that video could understand Naomi's bitterness. They had to leave friends and family, familiarity, to take journeys that were often not conventional or safe. There was great fear and uncertainty. In chapter 2, we begin to see God's provision. Ruth and Naomi, as women on their own, would have had few rights, and they would have been very vulnerable, living in poverty with few means of providing for themselves. Even more so for Ruth, who was a foreigner, adjusting to an unfamiliar place with unfamiliar people. But God's provision for them was set in motion long before they needed it. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, the Lord instructs his people, "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your fields or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner residing among you. I am the Lord your God." For Ruth and Naomi, this becomes their means of survival. Ruth goes out to the fields to glean, to follow the workers and pick up what they leave behind. She ends up working in the field belonging to Boaz, who is a relative of Elimelech, Naomi's husband. Boaz asks his foreman who Ruth is, and I find his reply really interesting. He says, "She's the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi." In the space of just a few words, he points out twice that she's from Moab, emphasising that she's a foreigner. Boaz, thankfully, has a bit of a different attitude. He cares for Ruth, ensuring that she'll always have a place to glean, water to drink, and that she'll be protected from anyone who might want to cause her harm. He ensures that she and Naomi will have enough. And at the end of chapter 2, we begin to see that glimmer of hope in Naomi's words, "The Lord bless him, he has not stopped showing kindness." And this story of glimmers of hope in the midst of vulnerability is one that I see regularly through our partners and projects. Many of our global partners are working in countries where Christians are the minority, where they're dealing with poverty and persecution, with natural disasters, with obstacles that we can't really even begin to understand. Last June, I travelled to Myanmar to meet with the Presbyterian Church of Myanmar. I'm not sure if you know much about the country. I didn't before I went. It's a fairly large country in Southeast Asia. It used to be called Burma. And it's a country with low levels of wealth and high levels of corruption. It's a majority Buddhist country. About 90% of the people are Buddhists, about 6% are Christians. The Christian church isn't persecuted as such, but in many parts of the country, anyone who's not a Buddhist is seen as a threat. So there have been instances of Christian churches being forced off their land. I spent a couple of days with the staff of PCM, hearing about and seeing some of the ministries that they're involved in. They're a small church with about 30,000 members, which is about 0.0006% of the population. But during the meeting with them, it almost seemed like they didn't know they were a small church. They're involved in so many parts of society, in healthcare, education, leadership training, vocational training, human rights, poverty alleviation, theological training, and mission. One of the people that PCI has been involved with is the Reverend Ling Zaw. So Zaw was supported by PCI to do a master's degree in theology several years ago. Following that, he became the General Secretary of PCM. His term as General Secretary ended last year, and he's now a lecturer in the Theological College. And currently, PCI is supporting his son to do a degree in music, which they'll then use in the Theological College to establish a church music department. When I was there, I spent the day with Zaw and his daughter, and it was one of the best times that I spent there. They were such incredibly welcoming and hospitable people. I'm very grateful for the support that PCI have given them, which has not only had an impact on their family, but also much wider on the church. PCM have big dreams. They're trusting that God will provide in spite of the poverty, the persecution, violence, and uncertainty. A little bit closer to home, we've been able to connect with many migrants who've left their homes, some by choice, some by force, and have ended up in Belfast. I imagine that most of you will have heard of the International Meeting Point. If not, IMP is based on the Lisburn Road, and it essentially operates as a drop-in for migrants. It provides lunch every day, for around 100 people and growing. But it also runs English classes and Bible studies, but that really just scratches the surface of what it does. It basically responds to whatever the needs are. And it provides great opportunities to share God's love with people who may never have heard about it. It has a very close connection with Windsor Presbyterian, whose congregation has really transformed since the link was made and includes so many different nationalities. A bit over a year ago, it became quite obvious that there were many people coming from North Belfast to IMP in the Lisburn Road, as many asylum seekers were being placed up the Antrim Road. So Keith Preston, who heads up IMP, got together with some folks from North Belfast Presbytery and started dreaming. Any of you who know anything about PCI will know that nothing happens very quickly. But it seemed that IMP North Belfast was a bit of an exception to that. Things fell into place so neatly and with such perfect timing, there was a real sense of God's blessing on it. Very quickly, a venue was found to open a charity shop right on Carlisle Circus. Volunteers started coming from all around the presbytery with very little hassle in finding them. And as the shop was kicking into gear, a hall became available also on Carlisle Circus, providing a venue for English classes and mums and toddlers groups. And there are plans for the hall to be used as a drop-in, similar to what's happening in South Belfast. Through the work, IMP staff have been invited to a local primary school in North Belfast to do English classes with the parents. And what was started as a one-year pilot less than a year ago has really just snowballed. And the future of it is looking very exciting. And the work of IMP wouldn't be possible at all without the United Appeal. While both South and North Belfast presbyteries contribute significantly to the work, they wouldn't be able to happen without United Appeal funds. Donations are having a far-reaching impact, bringing hope rising out of vulnerability. Before we get back to Ruth and Naomi and to how God's plan worked out in their lives, I'd like to tell you a little bit more about Demi from Mongolia, who you saw in the video earlier. Through some horrendous and difficult circumstances, Demi ended up in the UK. She arrived in Belfast about 3 years ago. When she arrived, she was 8 months pregnant. She didn't speak a lot of English. She didn't know where to go or what to do or how to get help. She had no money. She spent the first 2 nights in Belfast sleeping on the streets. It was in the middle of November, which you'll all know is no time to be on the streets of Belfast. As she mentioned in the video, she gave birth to her son a month after arriving in Belfast, so had to navigate an unfamiliar hospital system in an unfamiliar language. There were rarely any translators available. I'm sure you can imagine there aren't many Mongolian speakers in Belfast. And then she had to make her way through the asylum process. When I met her, she was waiting to appeal the refusal, which involved a difficult and stressful court process. But as I talked to her and as she told her story, I could see so much hope in her and so much of God in her life. So here's another part of her story.
After I come here, not long time, I met a girl from Mongolia, and also she used to live on Tim Road. And we just pumped in this small shop, and I was speaking with my partner, what can we buy today like that? And she just come to us like, are you from Mongolia? Because we were speaking Mongolian. It was like a surprise for me, and now I would say it's just God's plan, you know. So, and she encouraged me to come here. And first time, just come and go because we know like very little people here. But now I would say so much thank God for my Presbyterian family because the people encouraged me a lot. And like whenever I feel down, I always think, oh, I have a big family here. So the Presbyterian, like this church is my family now. When I grew in Mongolia, most of the people Buddhist. So actually, I didn't care about the religion and God. You know, I just lived on my way. But when I was Mongolia, sometimes I was going to the Christian church, just like. You know, especially when I was a student in university, I went there with my friends and there's some English people and free speak, you know. But honestly, at that time I didn't believe Jesus. And yeah, honestly, many times I was really not happy with God and I was angry with God. But now I'm realized like all of the time God was with me and always like trying to like pull me like in the right way. So this is why I'm here now, and now I'm fully, you know, believing God, and I have my own experience with God. So I love him so much and he is so bright in my life. And he's given so much good thing for my boy. So now I so much thank God.
Every time I watch the video of that interview, which I've done probably about 30 times, it gives me real hope. This girl's life was completely uprooted. She left home and family and friends and a job to come to a place where she knew no one, where she didn't speak the language, where her life was filled with uncertainty. But in her story, we can see so much of God's sovereignty, of his providence. What seemed like a chance encounter in a shop in North Belfast was really God taking Demi by the hand and leading her to a family and to himself. And I recently heard just before Christmas that Demi had had her residency approved. God took Ruth by the hand as well. When she first went out to glean in the fields, she didn't know she was going to Boaz's field. Verse 3 of chapter 2 says, as it turned out, she found herself working in the fields belonging to Boaz. And I love that little phrase, as it turned out. It almost sounds a little sarcastic to me, like the author saying, well, of course that's how it turned out. Of course it was Boaz's field. That's what God meant. There are things in our lives that may seem coincidental, but they're there by God's design. We're going to skip to the end of the book, to the part where we can see the outworking of God's plan.